Second Peter, first chapter, beginning in verse 12. Wherefore I am not negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it best, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my death, to have these things always in remembrance.
Well, I hope and expect that it shouldn't come as any great surprise to anyone that there are just a few days left in the year 2010. Though it maybe seems hard to imagine, it doesn't seem like a very long time ago that we were just welcoming this year into existence, and now we're about to say it, bid it farewell. And shortly we'll be welcoming in a new year, and maybe in some ways good, in other ways bad, this year will soon be nothing more than a memory. And maybe barely even a memory of that. We as a people can tend to be rather forgetful. By that I mean humans. I'm not picking on anyone in particular here. I myself can be rather forgetful. If I don't write something down and then remember where I wrote it, or remember to look at it again, I can easily forget things. In looking at some material for tonight, there were some things I looked back over to see when they occurred. Some of them surprised me. Was that really just this year? It seemed like a long time ago. Others of them surprised me in a different way. I looked and I said, I've already forgotten what I said a minute ago. That wasn't this year, that was a long time ago, or vice versa. It seemed like, you know what I'm trying to say. Some things appeared to have happened a long time ago. Some things I thought happened this year and actually happened years, maybe last year or the year before. That's what I was trying to say. Time can play a weird trick on us in that way sometimes. And yet we need to be reminded of some things. I think the gospel writers certainly understood that. In fact, writers throughout the Bible. Moses would oftentimes, as he's writing in those early five books, there's remembrances. You remember these things. You call to remembrance these things. You teach future generations these things, and you can continue to teach them that they stay in your memory. As you come into the gospel accounts and on in into the epistles, then you have various writers that speak of bringing to remembrance these things, even as was read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 through 15. Peter says, I think it good to bring these things into remembrance. Yea, I'm going to continue doing so, that you will continue to remember them, and I hope, even after my death, you will continue to remember these things. Paul had written to Timothy, and he urged them, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. Timothy, you continue reminding people of these things. You know, there are times maybe in delivering a sermon, or maybe you in hearing a sermon will say, I already know this. But it's good to be reminded of those things. As Peter will say, as he's writing there, he says, I want to stir up your remembrance and I want to establish you in the present truth. I want to continue building you up, because it's very easy to forget some things. Do you remember what you were doing this time last year? I guess if I really searched my mind, maybe I could. Do you remember as you entered into the new year, did you maybe make any resolutions? Did you determine some things that you wanted to be different in 2010? As you look back, how did those things go? Do you even remember the resolutions you made? Or are they just but a distant memory? Or did you continue thinking about them and continue trying to work on them through the year? How easy it is to make a great resolve at the beginning of the year and then quickly forget that which we have resolved to do. So we reach the end of the year and look back and say, why didn't I get any of these things accomplished? We never thought about them again. Maybe we make the resolution again for the new year and find ourselves in the exact same position the following year. And so it's good from time to time to allow ourselves to sit down and think back, reflect over some things that have happened. Think about some things maybe that were good, things that we enjoyed, things that were encouraging. It's even good at times to think back over things that weren't so good. And we think about lessons that we learn from all of these things and think again, how am I going to apply those lessons that I've learned? I'm not going to let the memories and the lessons that I've learned in this past year go unnoticed, go unheeded. Otherwise, I won't find myself making improvements as I go into each future year. And so what about as a congregation? I wanted to take some time tonight to think back over some events that happened in this past year. Think about some application of those things and how we can use them as we look forward to a new year, to charge us, to encourage us, to make some changes or to continue doing some things the same way, to learn some lessons. I imagine you would maybe think of some of the same events, maybe you would think of some different ones. So these are some that I came up with, I'll at least present in brief form. The first one, of course, is some joys. Over the course of the past year, we look back and we recognize we met some new friends. And one thing that is certainly wonderful as a Christian is the joy of meeting people that are of like precious faith, 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. It is a joy to be able to travel maybe into the next town over and visit with people that are of like precious faith, that are striving towards the same goal. It's a comfort to be able to travel maybe into another state, travel maybe even into another country, and to be able to meet and visit with those that are striving after the same goals and aims that you are. And how wonderful it is. I hope you can think back over some events of the year, maybe meetings in which others visited here. Maybe opportunities that we had, meetings or lectureships or other things in which you could travel to other congregations and to meet people. We certainly have a great opportunity in this area to be surrounded by some good and strong congregations with some brothers and sisters in Christ that we love and they love us, and we encourage one another. We work closely together, one with another. And hopefully in those associations we've met some new people or strengthened some friendships. As we think about going into a new year, maybe we can determine to be even more active in encouraging one another, not just within the congregation, but even among the congregations as we work together towards the goal of spreading the gospel in this area, encouraging one another, and indeed throughout the world. But even more, I was thinking on a local level. We had Estelle Guthrie that placed membership with us earlier in the year. At camp this year, we welcomed two that were associated with this congregation as Caitlin Barnum and Connor Vera, both decided to be baptized into Christ. And it wasn't but just a few weeks ago that Madison and Lundy made that same decision here on a Sunday night. We look back and we recognize here were some new people that, yes, we knew, but placed membership here or became New Testament Christians this year. And we rejoice in those decisions. But even as we think back then over that year, we begin to recognize not only is that something to celebrate in, that gives us a charge. It gives us a charge in two different ways. I think both summarized in Matthew 28, verse 19, and 20. As Jesus instructs his disciples, go into all the world, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Number one, as we think about those that have become New Testament Christians this year, there's a charge there for us to encourage them, to strengthen them, to help them to grow. But also, as we look back and we think of those events in this past year, we maybe look forward and think, will there be any similar events that will occur in 2011? If we are active and diligent in going forth into our communities and into our neighbors, then we can look forward to other such opportunities. Maybe there's someone already associated with a congregation that will make that same decision, or maybe some neighbor, some friend, somebody we have opportunity to study with or encourage that will make that same decision. All of those things ought to encourage us as we look forward to a new year to seek out opportunities and wonder who would be on such a list in the coming year. Who is it that we're going to encourage maybe to return to a faithful state? Who is it that we're going to encourage to obey the gospel and help them in any way that we can as they study and try to grow in that way? Who is it, maybe as a young Christian, that we're going to help grow up and mature in the faith? That we also then, as we look back in another year, can see those that we have welcomed as new friends. So we start with a joy, but along the same lines, as we recognize we met some new friends, we recognize we also lost some dear friends. We've, maybe in a joking way, I think we understand that, have understood this has been a busy year in that regard. There are a lot that we can look through if we were to pause and consider there are a lot of people that were with us at the beginning of this year that no longer are. Some moved away. I think about Lloyd and Zelma Leslie recently moving to Comanche. The others passed to their eternal reward. I looked back over some records that I have and I thought of Lucille McClung, Corinne Thomas, Ben Whitsitt, Addie Long, Madee Wheeler, Kathleen Hodge, Bernice Perkins, Jack Stoltz, Dorothy Graves, J.D. Tedford, Dorothy Reynolds, 11 funerals of members just associated with this congregation, and that's if I didn't forget somebody. And then, of course, I know there have been others more loosely associated with the congregation that we knew in this area. There are others that were friends, that were family members of various members of this congregation that also passed during this year. And so as we look back, we recognize there were a lot that we had to say goodbye to. And in each of those, we can usually think of a number of examples or things that we learn from their lives, things that we remember from them. And so we look back and we think about the lessons we learn from them. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Brethren, you think about the people that are of a like precious faith. You think about people that are walking in the same way that Paul said he was walking faithfully with God. You think about their example and you mark them. In the lives of faithful Christians, there are things that we can learn from them. Sometimes it's various things. Maybe we look at one person's service. Maybe we look at one person's dedication. Maybe we look at another person's ability to teach. Maybe we look at another person's zeal in some particular way or holding up under difficulties. We look back over those lives that we've known, and there are things that we see in each of them that encourage us and strengthen us. And we want to remember those examples that we have seen. Then also, as we think about those that are no longer with us, we were reminded of the uncertainty of life. And James reminds us, "Whereof you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Maybe as we approach the year 2010, there were a few of those that didn't overly surprise us. There were some of those, if we had mentioned on January 1st of 2010 that this person would not be with us on January 1st, 2011, we would have a hard time believing it. And so we don't know the things that will happen from day to day. And so as we look over those maybe that we've had to say goodbye to, it's a reminder, I don't know what will happen in the coming year, and you don't either. Oh, we're reminded that we're likely to face some separations of a similar sort as we go into a new year. Maybe some will move away. Maybe others will pass from us in death and onto their eternal reward. Will they remind us to cherish our time together? Will they remind us that even though it's considered a morbid thought, nevertheless, it's good for us to reflect and think, it could even be me or someone I know, someone I love. What will that encourage me to live like? What will it encourage me to be motivated to speak to others and to encourage them onto a faithful life? We talked about this briefly Wednesday night, that you know we can live ready to die in this world. We never know when that moment might be. But we can live as if we are ready. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What manner of person am I going to live like as I enter into a new year? Not knowing what my example might yield in the life of someone else. Not knowing whether this year could be a year of the Lord's return. Not knowing whether this year might be the last year I spend on the face of the earth. You see, even as we mourn those that were dear friends or that we've had to say goodbye to, there are lessons that they continue to teach us. What are we going to remember from those lives? We look back over the year 2010 and we were reminded that we struggled with problems, both physical and spiritual. And there were those that faced a great degree of pain. And there were those that maybe had to deal with cancer and its treatments. There were those that had to deal with some serious illnesses or other problems in their lives, or maybe those in the lives of their families in a physical sense. But even also in a spiritual sense, there were those that struggled with great temptations. I know we all did, but some maybe went through particularly trying times. Look back over the year and we recognize there were some that recognized a need to be encouraged and ask forgiveness of the congregation, to be encouraged that we would pray for be praying for them and strengthen them. What have these things done as we look back over the course of those difficulties and struggles that we may have faced in our own lives or in the life of a friend or in the life of a family member? Have they reminded us the importance of faithfully walking with God? That I will, with renewed zeal, set forth in 2011 and determine that I'm going to walk in the light as He is in the light. That I recognize there were great struggles, and yet my resolve, my zeal is I'm going to continue faithfully unto God in the coming year. Have we determined even stronger that my faith is going to grow as I go into a new year? Have they helped us learn to lean on others for encouragement, for strength? Have they been events in which we can come out of and say, I grew from that event. I learned something from those struggles that I endured that year. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Count it joy when you fall into those outward trials, when you fall into those struggles of life. How? Because they're going to help you grow. Because they test and strengthen your faith. Because as we look back over a past year, we can see those things that we've come through and recognize there were friends with me all along. There was a God that I trusted in that was with me all along. And I know even more that I can cast my care upon Him, for He careth for me. I endured those things. And it's going to help me endure the things that I may face in the future. Have they increased our dependency, our trust on God, our resolve to help others? We just started on Sunday mornings recently studying 2 Corinthians. We remember Paul's statements in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As he said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which also are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Are we able to use those struggles that we endured? Are we planning on using those to help others in the coming year? That we ourselves first learn from them, but then also we're going to try to help some others that maybe are going through the same difficulties and struggles and help them through it, just encourage them in the same way that we've been encouraged. And also remember that trust in God as we drop down to verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul speaks of God and he says, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." He said, God's not just delivering us right now. He has done it in the past. And we have full trust, full confidence that He will continue to do so in the future. We have that same confidence. As we look back in our lives, we recognize God's been with me. I've been encouraged and I've been strengthened. I have full trust and confidence He's going to be with me in a coming year, so that I can face the same type of physical or spiritual struggles that may come in the future year. But then also I think we have studied God's Word. Hopefully, of course, those include times of private study, opportunities to look in God's Word, to learn and to grow. But specifically, I'm thinking about the opportunities we've had to come together and study God's Word. You look back over a year composed of 52 weeks and you begin to recognize there's an opportunity, just in of itself, typically, to hear about 104 sermons a year. Almost just as many classes have been delivered from this place. I look back over our website where the audio of all of our sermons are archived there and counted as of tonight, after this one is uploaded. There'll be 112 sermons that were posted this year as you include our gospel meetings, the youth series that we did. 112 sermons we had the opportunity to hear God's Word proclaimed. I went back and looked at a few of the things that we had talked about, and I, in my own forgetfulness, had probably forgotten about a few of these things. We started the year by asking the question, what if it's just an ordinary year? You know, we think our faith is going to grow and to flourish. It's going to be put on display if some great thing happens in our life. Well, what if it's just an ordinary year? Are we still going to be faithful? Are we still going to do all that we can in our service to God? You'll have to look back and determine, was this an ordinary year or was there something spectacular that happened this year? But either way, as you approach the end of it, did we follow through with that resolve to be faithful unto God, to continue with Him, even if it was just an ordinary year? We looked that night on, that would be January 3rd, the first Sunday of the year, and talked about every member being faithful and fervent. We look back over the year and we can make our own judgments, I guess, based on our own knowledge to the degree that happened. But more than anything, I can look at my own life and determine, was I faithful and fervent? started the year off a study of Philippians, looking at how we can meet the trials of life in a book in which Paul is in prison, and yet he tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. A man who's sitting there and he can talk of contentment even though he's locked up in prison at the time. Oh, we looked at a number of weeks about why we're losing our children and what we can do about it. Encouraging us to take a real interest in the youth of a congregation and in teaching and encouraging and grounding them in the faith. And showing them this isn't just man's ideals here that are being set before you, but this is the very Word of God upon which you can trust, which you can stand sure. Looked at Ephesians, wonderful book of unity that exists among Christians, among the Word of God, and encourages us in that same unity. Of course, we're in that Sermon on the Mount right now, looking at the wonderful things that Jesus instructs as the master teacher in our lives. So many more examples of things we've had the opportunity to look at in this past year. We had a gospel meeting back in May with John Moore, and he talked about evidence that demands a verdict, reminding us there is a reason behind what we believe, that this is God's Word, and it can be trusted in the very fact that there is a God. We had Tom Moore out in October. He talked about the church moving forward. Gave us a great challenge as a congregation. What are we going to do in order to fulfill our obligations to the Lord? What are we going to do to spread the gospel into the world? What are we going to do in preparing ourselves to face the challenges and the obstacles that we will surely face as individuals and as congregations? As we look back on all of those things, have we implemented any of these things in our lives? Have we been challenged by them? Have we been changed by them? Now, since most of those were delivered by me, I'm not asking you necessarily to be wowed by the speaker. But what I'm asking is, if you look back over this year, and you've had the opportunity to listen to these sermons, and you've had the opportunity to go through Bible classes in which we're studying God's Word, can we look back and say we have learned anything in 2010? Can we look back and say, here are some areas I've been challenged or encouraged in this year? Here are some areas in which my knowledge and application of God's Word has grown in this year? And as I look forward to a new year, will I strive ever more to grow and to learn? That as I come to the close of 2011, I'll be able to look back and say, I know more, and I've applied more, I've changed more in my life because of what I've studied from God's Word. We have a charge to grow in the faith and to put into exercise what we study from God's Word. Paul charges Timothy, study. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As a Christian, you continue studying, you continue growing, you continue looking into God's Word. You're never going to exhaust it. Yes, I hope each year we can look back and say, I learned more this year than I did the year before. Or my knowledge has increased this year over what it was the year before. But as I look forward to a new year, I hope it's going to grow even more as I continue studying and continue applying. As the Hebrews writer writes to those Christians, he will say in Hebrews 5, verse 12 and following, when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There's an expectation there that we're going to be maturing and that we're going to be exercising that which we learn from the Word of God. How is the Christian going to grow? By desiring the sincere milk of the Word and by putting it into action in his life, exercising it, that we can grow thereby. We have a charge to teach others even what we've learned. Again, Paul to Timothy would say, "The things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You strive that as you grow, as you learn and you mature, then also help others do the same thing. Take what you've learned and try to help others grow as well. I understand he's writing there to a young gospel preacher who he is teaching and then sending forth into the world. The same way we're going to have opportunities to teach others, whether it be our families or friends, someone we come in contact with at work. As we are growing, we're going to be able to use those opportunities to help others. And so let us, like the charge given to Joshua, determine to think on the things of God's Word, to meditate on them, and to put them into action. Joshua was told, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success." We want to mature and grow as Christians. Keep in the Word of God. You study it and think on it. Meditate. Not just read through it, but study and learn from it. And then apply those things to our life. That's how we're going to be able to grow even in the coming year. And so 2011 is going to present us with new opportunities to do the same thing. Will we meet them with a greater resolve and a greater zeal to make use of them? To assemble together with the saints and exhort one another? Will we determine within ourselves that we are going to go forth as it is scattered about in our daily lives, going everywhere preaching the Word, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4? We're going to take the opportunities of Bible study that are presented here in sermons that are presented here, times of worship that we have here, to come before God and be strengthened and encouraged and go forth into the world and encourage others as well. We have a great opportunity each and every day of the week, of course, but each and every day of the week in personal time as well. I'll put a plug in here. We have a wonderful meeting, I hope, coming up in May of 2011. Again, providing us opportunity to encourage others to be challenged by the Word of God. What are we going to do with these opportunities? Will we make full use of them to encourage others that we can grow and others can as well? And then finally, as I look back over this past year, another set of events, I guess you could say, that will need to teach us and encourage us is the very fact that we faced opportunities and challenges. I consider myself highly blessed to work with the congregation here at 4th and Stewart. I consider myself highly blessed because there are so many here that have great abilities and great talents that are willing to put those to use. There's so many that when asked, they're ready to do whatever it is that is asked of them, ready to step in any area that they can and do so without asking recognition or special notice. There are others who will never be asked to do the things that they do, and yet by their own ambition, by their own zeal, they set forth to do the Word of God, to do the will of God in the congregation and in this community. Again, not asking of anything in return. And so we're thankful for those. There are so many opportunities that have been met this year. So many challenges, maybe even you can consider, that have been placed before us. So many that have visited. So many that have taught in Bible classes. So many that have tended to the grounds and to the building. So many that have volunteered in leading singing or doing devotionals or speaking at nursing homes and encouraging in so many different ways. All of those are opportunities, and I'm so thankful that they are met by people that are so willing to step in and do the will of God, and I pray that continues that as long as possible, we'll always have that zeal and that desire. If anything, that it would increase as we go forth into a new year. I don't know what the year is going to hold, but Lord willing, and the year continues, we enter into a new year and we go about its work, there are going to be opportunities in a new year. And we begin asking ourselves, what will I do with them? Will I be encouraged by Paul's word? As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10. We're going to be encouraged to use every opportunity that we have, even seek out opportunities in which I can serve and honor God. Long ago, a wise man, Solomon, wrote in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." That's not to be morbid, of course. We all know we're not going to be here forever. Our lives may be long, they may be short. In the grand scheme of eternity, they're going to be short. But Solomon encourages us. He says, any work that you're going to do, it's going to be done while you're alive in this life. And so you're going to face new challenges and opportunities. Are we with zeal going to latch on to those and do all that we can in service to God and in His kingdom in this coming year? Yes, indeed, I pray that we continue into a new year, that it is a prosperous new year, especially as we wrote in the bulletin this week, more than anything, that our souls will prosper, that the congregation will prosper, that we'll determine to serve and honor God, knowing that He is pleased as we set forth to do His will. Is that a resolve you'll make as you go into 2011? To spend a little bit of time, even as we have tonight, and to think back over the year and the things that we've done, the things that we've learned, things that we've seen and experienced, and not just push them back into the files of our memory, but see, what are the things that I can learn from those events? And how will they change me? How will they help me to grow? And how will I put those lessons into action in a coming year? Again, as we come together tonight, maybe there's one here that has been encouraged as we've thought about the challenges placed before us, that wants to begin a new year with a new resolve to be a New Testament Christian. Repenting of sin, confessing Christ, and being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. Maybe one that's ready to be restored unto a right and faithful relationship with God, asking forgiveness of sin and the prayers of the congregation. Maybe some other need that waits at this time. If so, why not even right now? Let that be known as together we stand and sing.